But before we look into the sacred scriptures, it is good that we seek the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our most gracious and bountiful Father in heaven, oh, how wonderful it is that our saints can gather in this comfortable home, even to have fellowship around thy will. Surely, O Lord, we know that this fellowship is only possible because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can also come to thy throne of grace to seek thee in our time of need. Oh, how wonderful it is to have Christ as our Savior. And so, Lord, as we look into this parable that is taught to us by our Savior, we ask, O Lord, that you will grant us the leading of thy Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, that indeed in all our ways we may please him, and in everything that we do, we bring glory to thy name. And so help us, O Lord, as we commit these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for inviting me to speak God's word to all of you today. And our prayer is that the Lord will bless this home richly, especially Brother Hasra and family, with the richest blessings of peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your hospitality. And we are continuing our series of studies on the parables. And today we are looking at this particular parable called the parable of the importunate widow. And the word importunate means, you know, someone who is persistent until the point of being very annoying. And this parable again is one of the few parables whereby the main point is not found at the end of the parable, but in fact in the very beginning. Right? Christ tells us very clearly what the parable is meant to teach us. When he says in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is something that, well, ought to be common sense, in some, you know, common sense to a Christian. Because when a Christian is born again, one of the first few things that he would do is really to commune with God, to pray to God. Now you consider the Apostle Paul, right, when he was converted, right, on the road to Damascus. Well, one of the things that was used to describe the Apostle Paul was this: well, behold, he prayeth. So when the person is born again, you know, one of the first few things he would like to do is to commune with the good God which has saved his soul from eternal condemnation. Well, I love him, and so I want to talk to him. And moreover, a Christian should understand that there is nothing in this world that he can do without the help of God. Everything he needs, God's grace to accomplish. And so, you would, expect Christians to always want to abide in prayer to God. But we know that, this is something that Christians often struggle with. When troubles come, instead of seeking God, sometimes we depend upon our own strength. And very often we treat prayer like a hotline. You know what is a hotline? You know, when you are in trouble, let's say somebody is facing gambling addiction, then the government puts up an advertisement, if you are involved in gambling addiction, or you need help, call this particular hotline. So you call, even in the SAF, if soldiers are facing trouble, there is this so-called counseling hotline. You call and then they are supposed to help you. Hotline. Only when we are in trouble, we are so depressed, we are so troubled, so distressed, or then seek God. Then at other times, when we are faced with the mundane things of this life. Oh, no need for God, no need to commune with Him. Oh, it's such a chore to have our quiet time and then commune with God. It's so weary. Is it not okay to just go through the day's events and not talk to God? Oh, it's so easy, especially in Singapore, where the pace of life is so fast. You wake up in the morning, and especially sometimes when we wake up and then it's late. Oh, it's time to go to work. Very quickly, we brush our teeth, we eat our breakfast, we rush out to work, and before you know it, we are trapped in the hustle and bustle of life. And we work until, you know, very late at night, and then we get back home. And then when we get back home, we are so tired. Then we tell our wives, you know, and then the wives also work very hard, you know, at home to keep the home while everybody is so tired. Let's just sleep. And then once you hit the bed, the bed is so comfortable. Within 1 minute, we are knocked out. So easy to go through the day without seeking the Lord in prayer. And so therefore, the Lord found it very necessary to tell His disciples down here that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, not to grow weary in the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, not to grow tired to commune with Him. And it's interesting that He gave this parable right after, you know, He was talking about, you know, the second coming, right? How, what it would be like. Well, in those days, it would be like in the days of Lot. And one of the things that He mentioned is in Luke 17, verse 33, where He says, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Well, in other words, be prepared to suffer for my sake, be prepared even to die for my sake. Expect persecution, expect tribulations, expect trials, expect difficulties in life. And if you read the epistles, you will find that, you know, many of the disciples in the early church, after a while, they begin to grow weary in their walk, especially in the Jewish church, for example, where there was a lot of persecution. And therefore, you have the epistles written by James, and then you also have the epistle written to the Hebrews, which deals with such subjects. Don't grow weary, continue to walk in the Lord. Yes, and one of the things that you'll find when somebody is faced with so many challenges is that, well, you can easily blame God and then say, enough is enough. I don't want to seek God anymore. And the Lord was concerned that the disciples will be weary, tired, as they continue to serve Him. So He says down here, well, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in your walk with Me, in your service to Christ. Always pray. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. In fact, we can restate this parable in this way. Right? The parable of the persistent widow who is so persistent until it's so annoying. We can restate this parable in this way. Right? Don't stop praying. Very simple. Right? There's one Johnson chorus that is written this way. Don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Right? Don't stop praying, He hear your cry. Yes, this is exactly what Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8 is teaching us. Don't stop praying. And the way the Lord illustrates this is in this way. Right? You look at verse 2. Right here, God's word says, there was in a city one judge. Right? So it happened that this city has one particular judge, and this judge was notorious for being very corrupt, very self-serving. Right? He feared not God. In other words, he was not interested in being accountable before the one living and true God. Who cares whether there is God in heaven, whether he's looking down and watching over what I'm doing? No, I am powerful in this city. What I am concerned is myself. I don't care about God, and if He doesn't care about God, what more about men? Who are these men? I can just play around with them in such a way whereby I promote myself. He was not concerned about doing justice. He was only concerned about his own belly, about his own needs, about his own power, about his own authority, about his own fame. Well, you get such a judge, it can be quite a disaster for a city. Any city that has a corrupt justice system, well, you know that life is not going to run well in that particular place. But in this particular city, well, can't be helped. You have this particular judge who is a rebel. God is furthest from his mind. So understand this first. Okay, what kind of judge we have down here? And then here in verse 3, you have a widow. Now, what kind of widow is this? Now, in those days, well, you have widows that are rich, and there are widows that are poor. Now, this parable doesn't really say whether it is a rich or poor widow, but I tend to think that this widow down here is one that is poor. Why? Because if she's rich, well, I think the judge wouldn't mind taking the case up for her. Well, a lot of money to earn. Rich, influential person. Well, I want to be in the books. But now this widow, initially you realize that the judge didn't care about her. Now, if the judge did not care about her, very likely this widow is someone who is a true widow. In other words, one who is really down and out, as suggested by the word used in the Gospel of Luke. Okay, Russ, someone who is really in need, desperate. And in those days, if you are a widow and you are poor, well, you are really truly down and out. Because there is no one to support you, there is no family, no husband to protect you, and then the people really do not care about you in society. They despise you. And it so happened that this widow had a case in which she wanted to address. She had an adversary which persecuted her, and she needed some help. I want justice. Now, you now have this widow, and now you have this corrupt judge. Very corrupt. Not like the Supreme Courts in Singapore. No. This judge is not concerned about doing justice if he has nothing to gain. Well, humanly speaking, it really seems like a lost cause, isn't it? You know full well that the case would be dismissed. But this widow was so persistent. And this you can, in fact, you can see even from verse 3, and that there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him. Now, this word came here can also be translated, she was coming unto him. And he has the emphasis of someone who keeps coming and does not stop, or keep coming. So you see him for one time, he says no, well, don't worry, I will see you again, okay? The next day, judge, I will see you again. So the next day, the judge goes to work. Knock, knock, knock. Who is that? Now it's the widow again. Please take up my case. Go away. So second day passed, the third day, early in the morning, he gets to work. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? Oh, this widow. You again. And she keeps at it. Keeps at it until, well, the Bible also describes in verse 5, well, as a continual coming. And this word continual coming is well, really best summarized by the word that you all have used for the message title, importunate. She keep doing until, well, she really became a nuisance, and not just a nuisance, in fact, this word continual coming has the sense of, well, the person being a torment unto the judge. Well, it's a torment to him. Well, every day, I go around, imagine there's this stalker coming to face you, well, you go into work, and then after that coming, this widow will stalk you about, oh, it's a nuisance, I better get rid of her. And so, what happened? Well, down here in verse 4, you see what he says, okay? And he would not for a while, so for some time he would not, but because she was persevering in her approach, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, But yet, so this is the truth, this is actually what he is like, okay? Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will adventure, because it's so tormenting to my soul. I want to get rid of this fly from my face. So let me deal with a case, and that's it. No more widows pursuing me every day. Well, indeed, right? He meted out justice for her. This judge not only meted out justice for her, but well, look at how hypocritical he is. You watch verse 6, okay? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Wow. Well, actually, what's in his heart? I don't fear God. I do not regard men. And yet, in front of everybody, when everybody is looking, when the court is in order, here he says, well, I am determined to be the instrument to mete out divine justice for this woman. In other words, to pretend to be a very righteous judge, one who upholds social justice. Wow, this kind of judge. Actually, in the world, many judges are like that. Many people, like, especially in high places, sometimes can be like this. Behind, their thinking is, they have one set of thinking in their heart. Wow, I despise this woman. Then, but in front of people, because this case now needs to be resolved and is in public view, wow, suddenly, I'm the judge, okay? I'm the righteous judge. So, see, sentence pronounced. Woman, this is the judgment for the case. Are you satisfied? Justice is meted out. I am God's instrument for divine justice, which it ought to be, right? Because we know that the courts of the land is actually a divine ordinance from God, right? God is the one who appoints the judges in nations, in countries, and therefore, right, they are there to ensure social good. You can read about this in Romans chapter 13. Now, that's what the judge is supposed to be, and he pretended to be, to fulfill this particular function, but in his heart, actually, he is not concerned. Now, this is the kind of judge we have here. And with this persistent widow, because she was so persistent, she could get the judge to mete out justice on behalf of her. This is the kind of judge that we have here. Now, think about the judge, perfect judge in heaven. It's not the judge of the entire world. God, our Heavenly Father. So much better than this particular judge that you see here. All we need to do is to go to him and pray according to his will, and he will answer us. Is that not true? He's not like this judge, and he's a good Heavenly Father. He's a loving Heavenly Father. Now, if this is the kind of judge we have there in heaven, and you know that he watches over our affairs, he cares for us, and he will surely vindicate his saints, why is it then that the saints in this particular world do not want to go to him in prayer? It does not make sense, isn't it? So, what the Lord is arguing from this parable is really from the lesser to the greater. You look at this particular judge, and you look at what this woman did, and you look at how the judge responded. Now, my Heavenly Father, right, that's what Christ is saying, is far better than this. Shouldn't this tell you that you need to go to him to pray? Especially when you're weary, especially when tired, but in fact, what you should do is really to depend upon him in everything and to seek for his help and grace for the day. A very powerful illustration given to us today for comparison. Now, please do not go away from this particular parable by thinking that, you know, if that is the case, then the longer the prayer, the more powerful it is. Now, there are some people who have this kind of thinking. In fact, some of those people who have prayer chains, you know prayer chains? Like some of the mega churches, they have that. And sometimes during the National Day of Prayer, I remember last time I had, when I was a teacher, I had some students who are involved in this prayer chain. So they would tell me, "Cher," they say, "Cher." Okay, "Cher. You know what, today we are engaged in National Day of Prayer, okay?" So I go home and this person, even very clever, tried to excuse himself from doing homework. "I can pray, you know, from this particular time to this particular time or so, you know. After that, I will be so tired, I need to sleep tomorrow, I cannot do church, can you excuse me from not doing maths homework?" Oh, very horrible. Like, anyway, the answer I told him is no, you have to do it. So they have this prayer chain, this person pray from this time to this time, this person pray from this time to this time, and so they think that, well, by having this prayer chain, when you pray for very long prayers, period, you can move the hand of God. Now, this is very wrong theology, right? In many, many points. Firstly, this whole idea that, you know, prayer moves the hand of God is really popular theology. Because we know that all things are ordained of God. What happens when we pray to God is really our will, right? It's now aligned with God. Of course, we are not saying that prayer is ineffectual. We know from the book of James that the prayer of a righteous man, right, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we will come to the example later. We know that. Okay? And so what prayer actually is this, right? That, you know, by our prayers, right? God, by our prayers, or rather, God is pleased by our prayers to use our prayers to work out His will in this world. In other words, God need not depend upon our prayers to work out His will in this life. And yet, God finds it pleasing to have the saints to pray according to His will so that His will can be made effectual in this world. Just like, for example, you, all of you, right, if you are born again, you are given this privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Does God need you to serve Him? Can God do anything without you? Of course He can, right? Nobody is indispensable in the service of the Lord. We know that. And yet, every one of us is given this privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Same with regards to prayer. Prayer is not only our duty, prayer is also the privilege given to us so that God, by our prayers, can work out His will in this life. And so therefore, we really ought to pray. It's really our privilege. Now, coming back to long prayers, right? This kind of idea that long prayers is more powerful is actually very close to many of the Gentile beliefs, isn't it? The pagan beliefs. Oh, go before an altar, or you pray very long, even you cut your hand and then you spill the blood, and then after that, God will listen, and then God will hear your cry, and then He will give you what you desire. We know that this is not how we ought to view prayer. Why? Because of the incident at Mount Carmel. Remember the incident at Mount Carmel? That was exactly how the prophets of Baal behaved, right? They wanted God to set the altar on fire, and so they go about the altar, and then they move about, they cut their hands and whatever. Then, for long hours, fire did not come down from heaven. Did not come down from heaven. And Elijah even mocked them. Oh, maybe your God is sleeping. Whatever. Then, when it comes to Elijah's turn, all he needed to do, a short prayer, in faith. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What happened? Pray according to God's will, pray in faith, and then fire came down from heaven and then engulfed the entire sacrifice. This is the kind of God that we have, isn't it? When we pray according to His will, God will answer. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear in verse 8 down here. "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." Right? Speedily is the key down here. Yes, I do know, right? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I do know that you are going through much trials and tribulation here in this world, because I know that this world is a world that hates me. That hates me.
And after I ascend up to heaven, you know very well now that they can't touch me, they will come and touch you. They are touching you, they are humiliating you, they are giving you much tribulation because they hate me. But don't worry, you know that my Heavenly Father is looking down from heaven, you know that He is very concerned for you, you just go to Him in prayer, and you know that this period of trial that you have on this world is one that is very short compared to eternity next time. And you know one day that the Lord will surely vindicate the saints. But when the end time judgment comes, you know that. You know that. Judgment will come speedily. So why don't you therefore go to the Lord and ask Him for grace to go through your day in everything that you do. In everything that you do. Sadly, and this is the key in this parable, sadly, Jesus Christ made an observation at the end of this parable. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, okay, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? This is a question that demands an answer no. In the Greek, right, this will be an emphatic no, will be the answer. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying, when I come to this earth again, what will be the condition of the world? It will be so rare to find a saint. And here we are talking about saints. It's so hard to find a saint who will pray without ceasing. Right? That's the key down here. It's not long prayers. Right? This parable is teaching us that we should pray without ceasing, as what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Everything depends upon God. Now, you all know that. But the sad truth is, when I come again, when I look at the earth, when I want to find such faith that is expressed in persevering prayer, in this attitude of prayer without ceasing, I cannot find it. I will not find it. Emphatically, down here. I will not find it. And this is something that is very shocking, isn't it? Very shocking, because we say that we are saints, we should pray without ceasing, and yet God says, I will not find such faith. I will not find such expression of faith. In other words, I know that all of you, including preachers included, preachers and prayer, okay, we also struggle. The Lord says, I know that many times you have not sought me in prayer. You have instead depended upon your own strength. You have instead gone according to your own understanding. You have gone your own way. Today we had a very appropriate tune or very appropriate hymn sung before this particular parable. Right? Did you think to pray? I was not expecting this hymn to be sung, but I thank God. By God's divine appointment, it was chosen. This hymn really reminded me of a pastor that has long departed, Reverend Toh, last time when I was still in True Life. Now, there was one point of time where he keeps speaking about this particular title, Did You Think to Pray? And so, on one particular Sunday, he spoke this particular message, Did You Think to Pray? Right, according to the title, same title. Then in True Life we have our prayer meetings on Friday. Okay, so on Friday there was a prayer meeting, and then he spoke again, Did you think to pray? Then what happened the next Lord's Day? One week later, next Lord's Day. So you have Sunday, Friday, and then Sunday, right? Guess what was the topic? Did you think to pray? So some became very upset, and then they went to find him, and they say that, oh no, you are serving us overnight fried rice. His answer to them, Did you think to pray? It's true, right? Because if you really examine our life, that is true. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find such faith on the earth? And this such exercise of faith on the earth. We don't seek God enough. Just finished our tabernacle camp about 2 weeks ago. Time flies. Reverend Pat was our speaker. He finished speaking at the camp, tabernacle, TV Church camp, and then after that he left on Thursday night, then he flew. Then I think he met the Hasras along the way. And at the camp, he was sharing about his struggles with driving. When you drive, maintaining the testimony on Singapore roads, people cut in and whatever, and then you get very frustrated. You get very frustrated. And then sometimes you horn. So he says, am I the only one who is facing this struggle? Well, nobody put up their hand. But actually everybody also face this struggle. In fact, I myself also face this struggle, just that I do not use the horn because I cannot use the horn. Why? Because church van, right? Church van printed. Was tabernacle PP church one. If you don't use the horn, what happened? Bear, the next thing you know, you now on Facebook you have this roads.sg, right? A lot of videos go viral. The next thing you know, your face is on roads.sg, you know, and then Ben appear, this tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church, man. So have to resist, but inside here, grumble. Now you sit alone in the van, you nothing to grumble. But when my wife sits beside me, that's where all the complaint comes up. You look, you see, this Singaporean driver is always so ungracious. And then all kinds of language will come out. Right? And so, why does all this language come out of the mouth? It's because sometimes when driving, we really do not depend on God's grace to help us to keep our testimony, right? We do not pray without ceasing. So when I came back, I told myself, okay, I better try to keep a good testimony. You know, try to drive patiently on the road, not to be so angry. So these few days I try to drive. Still sometimes I feel like, yeah, every time I come out a little bit, I say, patient. I have to really tell oneself, look, you have to be patient and depend on God to really keep the lips and to have the right kind of heart. Don't be angry even if the person comes in on the motorbike, just weave in and almost cause an accident. And then sometimes for van, very difficult. Car can accelerate, van cannot accelerate. Then you go and then the people don't want to give you, cannot come in, and then after that almost miss the turn. Patience. And that can only be done by God's grace. And so why this kind of words come out from our mouth? Because we failed to pray without ceasing. Right? All this. Manifestations of lack of prayer. Sometimes, certain things that we do, because it became so easy, we also don't seek the Lord in prayer. One more testimony would be this morning, we just had the adult fellowship, we also had an outing. So we went to this tree-top challenge in Pasir Ris. That's why I'm a little bit today. So when I don't like adventure sports, but okay, the same goes, so I went. So after a while, you completed the first one. First one, you pray, help me, because long time did not do this kind of adventure sports. And then I don't like this kind of adventure sports. I say, I'm the type of person, if you give me a book and then you let me hide in the corner, I'm very happy. I'm really very happy. I don't like to exercise, in this kind of way. But okay, so I just went. First one, okay, not bad. Finish the first side. Thank God, finish. Then you climb the second side. Second side, very difficult. Pray very hard. Help. A lot of upper body strength. I somehow took the easier route. There's another one, double black route. Some people go there, they really stuck there. I'm so happy I did not go there. So I went, and then I went the third one. Finish the second side. Second side, all the one labeled black and red. All can do already. This one is nothing. It's all blue. Don't pray already. Very happy. Climb up. By the time go halfway, not so easy. I forgot to pray. It's like, oh, I'm almost going to compete already. All depending on my own strength to finish it. Right? So easy, isn't it? So very easy. This is true for the individual life. This is also true corporately. Corporately. And one of the ways you can see this being manifested is just take a look at our states of prayer meetings in our Bible Presbyterian churches. Let's be very frank. Let's take a look at prayer meetings in all Bible Presbyterian churches. Everyone, okay, not just Calvary Pandan, you look at Tabernacle, it's also the same. It's also the same. Everywhere. Singaporeans, when you ask them to come to pray at prayer meeting, they are not found there. They are not found there. And so there was this recent graduate from the Far Eastern Bible College. He came to speak at our Chinese fellowship. He has just started a new work. It's called Mustard Seed Bible Presbyterian Church in China. Okay, Mustard Seed, because very few people were there. And then the Lord led him to his name. And so, okay, Mustard Seed. So he was sharing, giving this report, and then he was sharing to the members, oh, you know, in China, we have prayer meeting every morning. What time they get up? For his church, which the Lord has led him to start, they get up about 5:40 a.m. every day, 5:40 a.m. And then by 6 something, they have their prayer, and then after that, they go for study. And then after that, at night, about 7 to 7:30, they have another prayer meeting. Every day, you know, every day. Can you imagine? And then you just don't think that it's just this particular brother, because I asked another student who is studying in FEBC China, also, yeah, same for him. Of course, he says not everyone comes for every day, but they try to make it, you know, at least for certain days. But for us, for one prayer meeting, we are not found there. No, we are not found there. Very, very sad, isn't it? And then we come with all kinds of excuses. Oh, you know, prayer for church can pray anytime. I can pray, you know, when I'm in the closet, nobody is looking. I also pray for the church one. Well, we certainly hope that it's true, but very often, you know, if we do not take the various opportunities to pray for the saints, what guarantee is there that when we go to the closet, we are praying? Very often it's the other way around. Not found in prayer meeting, when it comes to personal, private prayer, we also struggle. It also shows a lack of concern that we need God's help in order to do God's work in the church. True, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then when in the church there are a lot of problems, and then people grow weary, we begin to wonder why. Well, we are not found in prayer meetings. We are not found praying for the church. We are so far from these people that are in China. We are so far from the standard of, for example, during the time of Spurgeon, where, you know, there's this account where Spurgeon would lead people under the boiler room when worship service is on in the church. And there at the boiler room, you can find hundreds that are praying when the worship service is on. And he will say that this is the powerhouse of the church. Hundreds that are praying. For us, one prayer meeting, so hard to come. So very hard to come. And so, I'll thank God that there are those who say that, oh, now I want to set aside regular times to pray. They tried, they failed. Because in Singapore, we're just simply not used to it. But really, one way we can start is, well, prayer meeting, we can be found there. And then when it comes to our quiet time, we do it consistently, firmly. And then when we go to work, always be in the spirit of prayer. Understanding that everything we need to depend upon God. Oh, we just start off. They don't need to be 5:40, get up, and then 7 o'clock have. No need. Asking them to do that. When it comes to the church prayer meetings, we also attend. That would be a very good application that we can draw from Luke chapter 18 today. Luke chapter 18. If we don't pray, again,
troubles comes our way, who is to be blamed? Who is to be blamed? Because we did not seek for God's grace in the first place. When there are problems in the church, who is to be blamed? Very often we point fingers at one another. Oh, the pastor is to be blamed. The session is to be blamed. The board of elders is to be blamed. The fellowship group leader is to blame. He is to be blamed. She is to be blamed. But could it be also because the church has not been praying always? Right? The key word is always, right? Always to pray. Prayer meeting already not there. That is a key question we need to ask. Indeed, the Lord says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find such faith on the earth, right? Such, right? Find faith on the earth. The answer, no. Well, we pray by God's grace that we will be one of those very few, very rare men who will be engaged in unceasing prayer. Today can be a start. Then we strive always to depend upon Him. Learn from the parable of the importunate widow. The importunate widow went to this unjust judge. She tried so hard to get the judge to do what she desired. And then finally the judge relented. What more for us? When we pray according to God's will, when we pray according to God's desire, we go to Him. Will not God answer? Will not God do what is according to our heart's desires when our heart's desires are aligned to God? May the Lord help us. When you get up in the morning, make sure, first, ask yourself, do I think to pray? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed we confess that many times we have failed to seek thee. Many times we have gone our own ways. We have followed our own understanding. And truly, O Lord, thou hast commanded in thy word that we should pray without ceasing. And so, Lord, help us to learn from thy word today to truly be men and women who are convinced that men ought always to pray and not to fail. And truly, O Lord, we know that for those who walk close to thee, it depends upon thee for everything. Thou will surely grant grace to them to serve thee aright. And so help us, O Lord, to be prayer warriors for thee. This we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name.